Thank you, preacher. Corny preached last week. It was just great. Getting echo. I don't know what that's all about, but can't figure it out. Okay, Nat, you want to give me a hand? Because if I'm getting echo up here, you're getting echo down there. Is that right? No, you're not getting echo? Okay. Well, then turn the monitor off. Maybe that's the thing. Okay. Happy Thanksgiving. What does that mean, right? Yeah, you sort of look around and why don't you pinch that person next to you and if they don't hit you back, you can be thankful. How's that? Yeah. So we want to mention a couple of things here. Of course, want to pray for Brad. Got back from a hospital here a whole week where he was just dealing with blood issues and just the health of his blood. And so continue to pray for he and Phyllis as they just deal with the recovery after surgery. And then also for Eric and Evelyn. For Evelyn, as she has also had some challenges since, as you saw in the email, with regards to some bleeding that was going on, and they hope they've got that resolved, and so please pray for Evelyn. And then I got a text yesterday that said that, okay, Eric, I hope you're not feeling on the spot, but you, I understand you and Vivian are engaged. Wow. So let's give them a hand, right? Yeah. I'll tell you, life goes fast. Yeah, I can still remember when I baptized you and just your family being here all these years, and so it's good to have you here. Congratulations. I have two things in my hands that are really significant as it comes to Thanksgiving. One is a rock that I found along Lake Superior some years ago. Actually, it was my son Tim that found it and gave it to me, and it reminded me that with the passing of time, God is in the midst of shaping each of our lives. Really important to stop and give thought to that in terms of how God has actually allowed various circumstances in your life to shape you. In fact, a lot of things that you've been through, you probably say, if I knew that was coming, I'd have gotten out of the way or I wouldn't have allowed that to happen somehow. But it doesn't work like that. This rock was shaped through the adversity of many cold, blistery, icy summers, winters, and so on of time. This watch, of course, reminds me of the blessings that come with time. Not only has God been shaping my life, but he's been blessing my life. And in particular, this watch was a watch that was given to me by Mrs. Greening, as she said, I want you to have that in remembrance of Mr. Greening. And how God uses very specific people in our lives to have an impact, to relate to us, to speak to our hearts about the changes, maybe not so directly, but sometimes just the changes that are evident as you look into the mirror of God's Word. And so we want to begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Corny, for leading us in that. But I'd like to pray again, not because what you prayed was, but rather to take these two things. And I want you to just stop and reflect for a moment. I know that in the room, Thanksgiving probably means all kinds of different things to each of you in terms of the circumstances that you're facing right now. Some of you may be not feeling quite as thankful because you're not sure that you can relate to the joy that comes with knowing the grace and the love of God. And we'll talk about that a little more this morning. In other words, you may be going through some things that are just challenging and you don't see the solution yet. At the same time, you may be thinking about others in your family, friends, who also are going through some challenges. And it's not like you can fix it. You actually have to watch and witness what it is that God will permit and what it is that God will do. Again, rather trying, rather challenging. So let's pray here today. Thank you, Lord, again for each one. Thank you for your word and the freedom that we have to be able to meditate upon it. Thank you for the songs that we were able to sing and to just be able to worship you so freely. Lord, you know each heart here. You know the things that they've been through in this past week. But not just this past week, throughout each of our lives, our upbringing, our families, our current circumstances, the trials that we may be facing right now. And so, Lord, I pray that you would remind us that you are ever present, that you love us completely, that you know all about us, and that you will accomplish your purposes. And right now, your purposes for us is to come here with grateful hearts, being thankful for the many blessings, even as we've read already in Psalm 103. Help us to appreciate that. We pray, Father, for those who are not maybe experiencing that to the degree that they would like. And we're mindful, Lord, that Brad and is still recovering. May you touch his body, restore him to health. And as Evelyn is in the hospital, and again, just trying to see how you're, what you're permitting and allowing the passing of time to bring healing to her body. May you grant the doctor's wisdom there, and may each Brad and Evelyn just rejoice in knowing that they're loved by you. Be with Phyllis, with Eric, and the challenges there, and may they rejoice today. Father, we want to rejoice this morning with Eric and Vivian, and just pray that you'd continue to bless them in their relationship. May they continue to look to you for wisdom, for strength, and that their relationship would flourish because their eyes are on you. Help us understand the things that we're looking at here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to Psalm 103 for a moment. Psalm 103. We're going to start at verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. In the midst of our Thanksgiving, and obviously all the decorations are out front and so on, remind us that we live in a land of bounty. We're clearly blessed. And yet in much of the world, there is chaos. In the times in which we live, we quickly realize that we don't have a lot of control over those things. In fact, we are not always aware in terms of how do we respond to this other than to trust God to take care of matters. And so working justice for all the oppressed is a very real issue in our world, and we're part of that. Lord, help me to know how I am to mete out your justice in a righteous way. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that that's true in my life. Thank you, Lord, that that's true in each person's life. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Again, thank you, Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed, and you can put your name there, my transgressions, and yet it's true, our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. Thank you, Lord. That our times here really are short in comparison with eternity with you. As for man, his days are like grass, and he flourishes like a flower of the field, and the wind blows over it and is gone, and its place remembers it no more. And so you take a walk through the graveyard, and you're passing through time. Every gravestone, there is the reminder that a life was lived, In some cases, the life was shortened, sometimes by no fault of their own. Sometimes the gravestone, and should you know the person, realize that their life was cut short because they made choices that impacted them and those around them. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children. Thank you, Lord. And with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. And it's almost like verse 19 is a little bit of a thunder. It's a little bit of a thunder to wake us up to the reality that the Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. And so our response is, praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, and you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I want to begin this morning with expressing my gratitude, acknowledging that at the heart of all that goes on here at Faith EBC and at Emmaus is because of you, your hearts, your desire to serve the Lord, your serving, your sacrifice, your time, and oftentimes going unnoticed, oftentimes not seen by very many. Teaching children, young people, doing good to encourage others around you. Thank you. Today we approach the throne of grace, I trust, with an intentional heart of thanksgiving. And as I was reflecting upon that, there are two questions that came to my mind as I was thinking about this Thanksgiving Sunday. Why should we give thanks? Why should we give thanks? Now, right now, you might be saying, I could answer that. That's good. It's important that you can. But oftentimes, what's really difficult is, how do we give thanks? What does a grateful life look like? Now, you might say, hey, Mike, what about the question, what do we give thanks for? Well, what obviously seems apparent here as we're sitting here with our family and friends, and compared to the rest of the world, we receive an income, and we would say we certainly should be thankful for those things, and I trust that you are. It's true that we are grateful for each one who's in our lives and for the time that we have to express our love to God and with those who know Him. Yet the two questions go to the heart. They press hard against the heart of the times in which we live in. People aren't taking the time to ask, why should we give thanks, or how do we give thanks? We don't readily ask those two questions, much less answer them with any sense of clarity or practicality. Much of the world isn't sitting here in a sanctuary, and are certainly not intentionally reflecting on why they should give thanks, or even asking themselves how they should give thanks. Now, you and I know that there's some things that we've come to understand, and there are things that we experience that should cause us to respond with a heart of thanksgiving. You know, we know that we have the gift of eternal life in the person of His Son. Why don't you say that real quick? Not so simple. It came at a great cost. But life nonetheless, but yet probably a life that isn't fully appreciated or understood. You know, we know that we have peace with God, but what does the peace of God look like in your life? We know that we're forgiven, but yet why do we find it so difficult to forgive? We know that He hears our prayer, but why is it that we're reluctant to pray? Now, there are numerous passages which speak to the fact that we're to be thankful. And I'm not here to exhort you with that. Of course, the answers to the why question is mentioned. And also to the passage that we read in Psalm 103, certainly can say, here's some reasons why. And yet, appreciating the fact that the Lord is forgiving, that He is loving, that He is gracious, appreciating that doesn't just happen. It's not like you wake up in the morning and your first thought is, wow, am I forgiven? That is so fantastic. And if you do, praise the Lord, you're way holier than I am, which is not an issue of comparison and wouldn't be very difficult to beat in a matter of speaking. I want to thank the Lord every day, and I seek to do that. I'd like to appreciate that I'm forgiven, but I don't always reflect upon that, or it isn't always evident in the way that I treat others. The point being is that there needs to be a time. Sometime, some moment in time, in this country so far has said we're going to recognize the second weekend in October is going to be something where we're going to give people in this country an opportunity to intentionally give thanks, whereas the Bible says that should be your daily experience. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all things at all times. There needs to be a time of reflection. In fact, if you were like Job and lost everything in your life, the Lord would still be the same. He would still love you, still be compassionate and gracious towards you. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we were reminded, as Corey was preaching last week, that although we are faithless, He remains faithful. And so, in answer to the why question, why should I give thanks? Well, I should definitely intentionally give thanks because I realize and recognize these truths to be real in my life, real in each of our lives, even though the circumstances in each of our lives is somewhat different. In other words, we're not all going through the same depth. Some of us are going through some pretty fast waters. Some of us are over our heads and we could use some oxygen. Some of us are overwhelmed to the point where we just are asking the question, where are you, God? As to how we give thanks, this is likely going to be determined in terms of how grateful we are to the realities of God's love, His forgiveness, and His grace towards us. And so clearly our expressions of thanksgiving are meant to be expressed to God. And if we could do so publicly as we were singing here this morning, we are to express it to God for all that He has done, and not simply with respect to our accomplishments and how we've benefited. You know, things are good. How are you doing? Fantastic. Couldn't be better. For some, it couldn't be worse. We are blessed regardless of what things we might be facing today because God is always gracious, because God is always loving, and as we were reminded in Psalm 103, He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 7, verse 36. Couple of stories I want to look at, just basically three passages. Luke 7:36 and following, and then I'm going to take you to Luke 17:11, just a few verses, and then we'll close off with 2 Corinthians 9. We're exhorted in God's word to give thanks in all things. I'm sorry to say that for many of us that seems to be impossible at times when life seems so tough. The Word of God says we're to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Somewhat ironic. Not quite what we would expect. Luke chapter 7, verse 36, following. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house, reclined at the table, when a woman who had lived a sinful life. And so everything that was taking place in her life at the moment in time was as a consequence of her choices. Learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. Pretty costly. As she stood behind him at his feet, she was weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, and she kissed his feet and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw him, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. He shouldn't be associating with that person. We're a very discriminating society. We are. We're spiritual bigots. We have this idea that somehow some people we can associate with, but others we can't. The Pharisee is a picture of a very real person, but one who saw himself as being better than this woman. Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. By the way, did you know that your sin debt has been canceled? All of your sin has been dealt with. Your destiny is determined by virtue of your faith in the Lord Jesus. His grace is sufficient for all, to all who believe. But much of the world doesn't realize that their sin has been dealt with. Some have refused to believe. Which of them will love him more? Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. Well, you've judged correctly, Jesus said. And he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Yes, Simon, this woman who is living out the consequences of her choices, as far as you're concerned. As far as you're concerned, she is not worthy of the grace and the love of God, even though she has realized that much of what she has gone through is as a result of her choices. She is falling at the mercy of Almighty God, seeking his grace. If only and possibly if maybe he might consider me, that I recognize the error of my ways. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Simon, don't you see this? So I want to tell you something, Simon. I want to tell you about her many sins. Of course, you know about all her sins, don't you, Simon? You already got her nailed and pegged. Her many sins have been forgiven. Who but God can forgive sins? How do you know that her sins have been forgiven? Well, of course, that begs the question, doesn't it, Simon? Why are her sins forgiven? Well, she loved much. You know, there are people who are living broken lives who love more than us, more than you and more than me. Broken people. This woman loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Simon, do you not see the relationship here? He turned to the woman and said, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Of course, that is the question, isn't it? It should stop us for a moment and cause us to pause and reflect. Who is it that has forgiven my sin? Because not one of us can absolve another person of their sin. Only God can do that. Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Let's go to another passage. Luke 17, verse 11. You say, well, with the woman, her sins are forgiven. That's a fantastic, remarkable grace of God. Absolutely true. And she clearly didn't deserve it, as we read in Psalm 103. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. What do we do with this scene? This scene's a different scene. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Oh, the average Jew would look at that. What are you doing along these God-forsaken routes? Jews in Galilee have basically compromised. Samaritans are half-breeds. Luke is quick to point out, Jesus is no respecter of persons. He could care less where you came from or what you have done or what your circumstances are in life. His grace and his love and his forgiveness is beyond our human comprehension. Help me to catch that, Lord, in the way that you love people. Help me to love as you love. And so as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he says, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were miraculously healed. One out of 10, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. Obviously, he just didn't wash himself very much. And the reason why he got leprosy, there must have clearly have been either he was unclean, he had some unhealthy habits, or maybe more importantly, the way many people think is that the reason why he got leprosy is because he's got some sin in his heart. You know, the things that Brad is going through and Evelyn are going through is because of some sin in their lives. So I don't think like that. I can't think like that. But I know Christians who do think like that. And you notice I didn't question whether they're Christians or not. But I certainly do question their grace. Sometimes you have a congenital disease you can do nothing about and it affects the quality of your life. Tell me, if Jesus was walking through the halls of any hospital or down the streets here and you were suffering with some congenital disease and you knew that he could heal you, wouldn't you say, "Hey, Jesus, Messiah, would you heal me?" I sure hope you would. You'd be foolish not to. So their shout is unashamed. The only way that I can get beyond this sickness, this leprosy, is if you touch my body, gracious God. Just say the word. So many different stories in Scripture that remind us of the power, the word of God. 10 were healed. 1 comes back. If God was to supernaturally heal you, to actually deliver you from some circumstances that you're facing today, would you dedicate your life to being a thankful person for the rest of your life? Well, hold on a minute. He actually has done that. He's delivered you from your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins as it relates to your destiny. He's already done something that no other human being could possibly do. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed?" While this man was at the feet of the Lord Jesus, just like the woman, as she was wiping his feet with her tears and sobbing, this man thanked the Lord Jesus. And Luke makes this notation, says he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. He's an outcast. He's not worthy to receive the healing touch of God. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was not one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan that everybody else? What about my people? What about the ones who know me and understand the God whom I serve? And we of all people should be the most thankful people. But I'm a Samaritan. Or as Isaiah would say, I'm a man of unclean lips. What do you mean you're a Samaritan? Well, I moved to Winkler. I'm a foreigner. I'm an outcast. I don't speak Plautich, except for Eva Schrotz, maybe a little bit. You know, just a few words. Next Sunday, dessert. I like that, John. That's good. Oh, I'm glad I've come to the land of blessing, but there are times when I'm looked upon as a foreigner. Maybe you've moved to the area and you may be feeling like, I don't quite fit in all the time. You know, my name's not Thiessen or Friesen, but if it's Thiessen, it's not spelt like the other Thiessens, and of course I'm not from here, so I'm picking on Daniel. Where is he? Yeah, Daniel and Dorothea, there they are, yeah. T-I-E-S-S-E-N, Thiessen, yeah. Thiessen is the way we would say it in Ontario. Toes, not Taves. Froze, not Fraze. Crocker, not Craker, yeah. See, I'm a foreigner. Maybe you don't consider yourself on par with this woman in Luke chapter 7. Rather, you think of yourself like, as the Pharisee did, you're better than her. I wouldn't do anything that woman has done. Well, Jesus is saying then likely you won't express your thanksgiving in such an elaborate manner. You wouldn't find yourself sobbing publicly in the midst of a Pharisee's house. You wouldn't go out and purchase an alabaster jar of oil and actually anoint the Lord Jesus. You wouldn't, God doesn't need my gratitude like that. I don't need to embarrass myself. Maybe you haven't suffered as the leper did in Luke 17. Not having experienced being a social outcast and not only for his illness, but because he was a Samaritan, then you likely won't fall at Jesus' feet and give thanks. Then again, maybe you haven't grasped the fact that our Heavenly Father gave his only Son for you, and that the Son freely gave his life for you, so that you could be the Father's son, a child of God. Maybe this Thanksgiving Sunday, you haven't quite understood the quality of life that God wants you to enjoy now. And that much that is happening in your life, which he is only God could do, has actually permitted these things, maybe for the simple fact that he wants you to recognize his faithfulness. He's permitted these things in your life so you might realize that he actually loves you, forgives you, and is gracious to you. Turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 to 15. Regardless of what you're facing today, and maybe you're not facing anything as challenging as maybe Brad and Evelyn, then again, maybe we don't know everybody in the room, do we? Maybe we think we know each other. Maybe we think we understand each other well enough that we could appreciate that, oh, why, you're not going through anything. Wouldn't take long for me to just mention a few names, and then you'd begin to say, yeah, we need to pray for such and such. We need to appeal to God for so and so. God is working his purposes for our lives even when we don't realize it. God continues to love you unconditionally whether you're thankful or not. And so it's only when you and I appreciate his love, it's only when we appreciate his goodness, it's only as we appreciate his watch care over our lives can we express our thanksgiving like the woman in Luke 7 and the leper in Luke 17. Just two stories. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able. Do you have it? You might want to underline this. Yes, God is able. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you too would abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 112, verse 9. Now, Paul says, I want you to realize that he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed.
Well, I'm not a farmer. I don't need any seed. I'm not going to farming. What are you talking about? This doesn't really apply.
Oh, yes, it does. Because to each and every one of us, you've been granted a supply of seed. And God says, I want to increase your store of seed so that you can have an enlarged harvest of righteousness. And as a result, you'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result. Through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Why don't you send me an email? Why don't you send me an email? It just goes like this. Is there anybody who needs help that I could help? And I could give you maybe some answers to that. I actually know people who need help. So why aren't you helping them? Oh, but maybe I am, and you don't know it. And maybe you're helping people. And maybe all of us are, and that's good. Sort of say, well, you mean we're not meeting everybody's need? No. And then you sort of read this again, and you say, hang on. Lord, would you increase my store of seed so that I can produce more? And so this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And so you help someone, they say, oh, I just want to say thank you. Well, let's thank the Lord together. Not just on October 9th. Not simply the second Sunday of the year. Second Sunday in October of the year. Rather, let's give thanks every day. And so that men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. I wonder why Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. Because you see, they were a bunch of helium heads, otherwise known as airheads. They were so full of themselves. I wonder if the North American church isn't so full of itself. And yet there are faithful ones. Boy, we sure need more, don't you think? Oh, Lord, turn the world upside down with just a few willing people. May the Lord want to turn your world upside down with your willingness, your store of seed. And so as people pray for us, you know, there are people praying for the work here from different parts of the world. I read verse 14. And their prayers for you, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What's the gift? You say, well, obviously it's the person of his son. It is. But it's the fact, the gift that you get to serve and you get to benefit and you'll be recognized when you stand before the Lord. It says, well, I don't want to be recognized. After all, I'm not an airhead. No. Well, then don't serve for any reward. I'm fine with that. So I'm not motivated like that. Well, what are you motivated by? What motivates you to give thanks? What motivates you to serve? All the ministry that takes place here, coming back to my first statement, happens because of you. I'm very grateful for that. But if we want to do more work, it'll take more of us. It'll actually take all of us maturing and growing. There's a ministry that we won't be able to have this year. It's called Trek. We won't be able to have it. We don't have the workers we need to do it. Well, I think we have the workers, but we don't have the... Yeah. I wonder how that's going to work. So I didn't know that. Maybe I could do that. Well, then give me a call. Let me know. Awana, that's a ministry that goes on. I'm going to start here next week. Not this coming week, the week after. And again, it takes so many. Sunday school takes faithful Sunday school teachers, men and women. We didn't have enough Sunday school teachers. We had to combine classes this year. Oh, special music. Wouldn't that be nice if we had special music here every Sunday? I think there's lots of talent here. I wonder how that could work. So I say, I'm doing so much already, I can't do any more. Oh, welcome to the club. What do you think? Say, do I serve with thankfulness? I sure hope you do. Because unless you do, it won't amount to very much. Although, God could use your life to touch another person's life even when you're not thankful. So here you are. I said, punch the person next to you, right? Courtney hit her husband so hard, he almost fell over in the aisle, and he's a big guy. I want you to do it again, but I want you to do it with a hand on the shoulder. You just try it for a moment. I'm going to close my eyes. You can do it because we're going to pray. But how about thanking the Lord for the person next to you? If they're a Sunday school teacher, youth leader, small group leader, Awana helper, why don't you say, thank you, Lord, for that person who's training my child, training my young people, helping me to be the man and the woman that God wants me to be. It takes a community to raise a family, you know that. We're to be that community of faith. No, you may not be the woman. Oh, you may not have a congenital disease like the leper. See, I don't have any of those extreme conditions at all. I'm just living in North America like a complacent Christian, wondering what I should be thankful for. Wow. Lord, give us wisdom. Gracious God, you know each heart. You know there are people here who are heartfelt in their desire to serve you and love you and doing that day in, day out. Lord, we pray to you, the Lord of the harvest, to send out your workers into this field to nurture our children, grandchildren, our young people, parents, moms and dads. I'm sure, Lord, there isn't a church that doesn't, well, I would say, that doesn't have enough workers. We're always asking for more. But that's what you want us to do, Lord. I know that. That's what you said, that we're to pray to you, to ask you. And so we humbly fall before you and ask you for that. At the same time, we say, thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength to be the men and women you want us to be. Help us to realize that we're really not all that different than the leper. There are circumstances that are taking place in our lives that are really of no fault of our own, but we feel somewhat outcast. And then again, Lord, we're really not all that different than the woman who was, well, the sinful woman, the Pharisee called her. We're really not all that different. By and large, we just don't realize it. And how that there too, in both cases, they were thankful. So help us to wake every day, in every moment of every day, to have hearts of gratitude, that we would value our life's mate first and foremost, that we would definitely love our children, that we'd love our neighbors and love our enemies, that we would work faithfully in our places of work, that we would give thanks for every little bit that you give us. And then again, Lord, little bit, we live in the land of plenty. And yet so often we're bankrupt. May we thank you for the grace that you've extended in realizing whether we understand it or not. You've dealt with all the sin of all people of all time. In fact, as we sit here, we're forgiven and not realize it. We're loved by you and still not realize it. But if there can be just a scintillation of a moment in time in our brains where we would say, I do thank you, Lord. I thank you for loving me, forgiving me, and understanding me. Help me to live in such a way that others will see that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake and live a grateful life. Lord bless you.